You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, good evening, everybody. I'm Peter LaBarbera, President of Americans for Truth, and we're here again with our guest, Ryan Sorba, who spoke at our Truth Academy. I hope you're all doing well and ready to engage the culture again. Americans for Truth is a single-issue organization devoted to opposing the powerful homosexual activist movement, the movement that is everywhere you are. Unfortunately, you can't get away from it these days. It's gay, gay, gay everywhere you go. They're out of the closet and into everybody else's closet, it seems, because you just can't get away from it. And so we are on the other side of that issue, and we're talking to Ryan Sorba. Ryan, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hey, Pete.
How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good, good. Ryan, you spoke at our Truth Academy, and you did a great job. Ryan, you got several titles. Are these accurate? You are the chairman of California Young Americans for Freedom?
That's right.
You are the national field director for Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow?
That's right as well.
And you also were part of the undercover investigation with James O'Keefe against Acorn. You know, Ryan, what's wrong with you? Why would you want to help expose such a wonderful democratic organization like Acorn?
Yeah, they're
what do you got, something against democracy?
They're a little gem.
tell us about that for a minute. What did you do?
Well, James and I talked about it prior to the investigation multiple times. He wanted me to go in and play the bodyguard while he was the pimp and Hannah was the prostitute. And I had actually started a new job and couldn't get the time off to go to the East Coast. But when they came up to the West Coast, I attended the San Bernardino Acorn office meeting with them and did some other stuff. And it was unbelievable to actually see that woman, Teresa Calkey, in there talking about killing her husband, talking about helping us bring underage El Salvadorian sex slaves to America to work in a brothel and get beaten for an extra $15 an hour.
Oh, man.
It was just crazy. And it's just a moral bankruptcy, you know, in the...
You know, that moral bankruptcy extends to the left in general. I mean, you know, we talked about the Marxist group, the Gay Liberation Network. The left, I mean, you're a lot younger than I am. How old are you, 28?
Yep.
So you were not defined by the war against communism. My generation was, you know, that was our big thing. Reagan was the hero. Reagan helped basically destroy communism, although it's not completely destroyed. Although the Chinese are profiting off of capitalism, not communism. But, I mean, the left is a movement that tried to see the good side of communism and that was actively involved in covering up this murderous system. So, you know, why would anybody listen to the left?
Right. The left has been, I mean, the left has got so many issues over the course of the years. I mean, they supported eugenics and extermination at the early part of the century. They support it now implicitly through Planned Parenthood. It's just the culture of death, it's the overall culture of death that the left employs instead of the culture of life.
They supported the abortion on demand, and that continues to be one of their crusades, and that's just a horrific agenda.
A lot of these libertarians, these sort of socially liberal, supposed fiscal conservatives, I don't believe there are that many of them out there. I think a lot of these people are actually just moderate rhinos.
Define rhino for our audience, Ryan.
Republican in name only.
Okay.
But they don't realize that Karl Marx advocated for the destruction of the family. Him and Engels both wrote that in the Communist Manifesto that the family was the natural complement to bourgeoisie capitalism. Within the family, you had ownership. They implied a sort of class struggle between the father and the mother, and the father was dominant in the children. And they wanted to erase all these class struggles and gender struggles, and so they advocated for free love, hippie free love, and children to be raised by the state, and essentially no marriage. This was the world they envisioned. How radical is that? I mean, when in history has anything like that even ever existed?
Yeah.
And, you know, the radical homosexual agenda is looking at the same thing. They want to destroy the institution of marriage and the family. They want to subvert natural morality and put in its place a sexual, quote, homosexual morality in which anything goes, free love and anonymous pansexuality. And most of these people are just, I think that they're basically nuts.
Yeah, you know, Ryan, it's interesting how you said pansexuality, because I think where the left is now, the social left, is, you know, they're really, they've already got gay marriage in the vanguard of the attack on marriage. Of course, marriage has been being, you know, destroyed by many forces, not just the homosexual activists. But I was watching just the other night, John Quinones on this show about eavesdrops on people to see how they respond. I can't remember what it's called. It was eavesdropping on a woman. They had staged a situation in which one of her friends, boyfriends or husband, I'm not sure, I think husband, they staged where he was sort of having an affair. So they had like they had an actor play this, and the woman was who they were sort of eavesdropping on was in the restaurant with her girlfriend, her friend, having dinner. And then they arranged so that she saw this friend's husband having what appeared to be an affair and being very romantic with another woman. And it was very interesting. And they were talking about how and this friend was very troubled because, her friend's husband was apparently having this affair. And so they were trying to the show was all about what would you do? In fact, I think that's what it's called. What would you do? Something like that. Anyways, what struck me was when John Quinones went to his marriage expert. Right off the bat, one of the things he said, what should people do? And she starts off by saying, well, first of all, you can't assume that he's doing something wrong. They might have an open marriage. She said he might be a swinger. In other words, oh, how politically correct. We can't even assume that it's wrong for a guy to be messing around with another woman because, hey, they might have an open marriage. And so now we see the left, the social left and the radicals, because these people are really revolutionaries. Now they're sort of like, okay, hey, here's another model for marriage that we can have a man and a woman, and they can have outside sex, which, by the way, as you know, Ryan, is sort of similar to the gay male model. The homosexual men have lots of outside sex in their relationships. Even when they say that they're in a relationship, a lot of times there's this outside sex.
Right. It's the homosexualization of marriage. These people aren't actually married, I don't think, in these cases. Their vows weren't legitimate. They never meant what they said. I mean, a marriage is essentially the intelligible end of rational control over the sexual appetite. And it's grounded in human nature. Human nature is irrational. Human beings are a rational animal. That reason separates man from the animal kingdom. And the rational or intelligible end of the reproductive type act is primarily reproduction, and secondarily, it's unity of spouses in the interest of the education of the rational child begotten as a result of the union. So it's physical reproduction and education, or metaphysical reproduction. Men instilling manhood into men, women instilling womanhood into women, humans instilling humanity into humans, old birds teaching young birds to fly. And the reason why the second end of unity of spouses in the interest of education is the second intelligible end of marriage is that to have a child and then just not educate it and allow it to die would be unintelligible. It would be like a self-contradiction if you didn't follow through. So these are the two intelligible ends of the reproductive act, and insofar as a male and female remain in a committed relationship, that, you know, they work toward this end, insofar as they, you know, open their relation, insofar as they cheat on each other, they subvert this relationship, and
yeah, and you just said it. You just said in a very in a sort of a educated way, the idea that it's not, hey, it's not marriage. Marriage is about commitment. It's about commitment to another spouse for life. Now, there's another old-fashioned concept. Remember the old vows, for richer, for poorer, you know, till death do us part. Now, gee, how antiquated is that, it seems. And but I just love it when the media goes for every fad, and now the next fad, it looks like, is going to be mainstreaming swingers, Ryan, because, you know, it's important that we're sensitive to the swingers out there, because maybe they can't handle a truly monogamous lifetime fidelity relationship.
Right. You know, and, you know, I'll tell you one thing. The youth is in large part against this. You've got all the major political activists in the young conservative movement, Hans Zeiger, Ben Shapiro, Lila Rose. You know, you've got Steve Bierfeld and Brennan Steinhauser and James O'Keefe and Anna Giles and Christian Hartzler. They're all traditional conservatives. All the leading activists that are under 30, under 25, they're all traditionalists.
Well, Ryan, let's leave it there. We'll be right back with Ryan Zorba. This is the Americans for Truth Hour. Our website is americansfortruth.org. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Americans for Truth Hour. This is our part two of our two-part interview with Ryan Zorba. Ryan is a young conservative activist. He spoke at our Americans for Truth Academy, which was held at the beginning of August in outside Chicago. You can get the Truth Academy tapes. There's DVDs and CDs. They are available through the website. Go to the Truth Academy button on the right side of the website at americansfortruth.org. And there's some wonderful lectures there. We've got lectures from Matt Barber. He's the guy who was fired from Allstate. He's now an activist with Liberty Counsel. Professor Rob Gagnon gave some just absolutely wonderful talks on the Bible and homosexuality. He is the world's leading authority on that. Arthur Goldberg talked about transgenderism. He talked about the reality of change in the life of homosexuals, the fact that many have left the lifestyle. Laurie Higgins gave some great two great presentations on semantics and logic and reasoning in answering the homosexual shibboleths. Cliff Kincaid talked about the media and homosexuality, talked about HIV, the fact that there's 19,000 plus, I think he said, HIV-infected soldiers in the armed forces, and we're talking about opening the armed forces up to open homosexuality. It's ridiculous. Professor Rena Linda-Waldson talked about the law on homosexuality. Greg Quinlan, a former homosexual, talked about the gay activist movement and his testimony coming out of homosexuality. And Ryan Zorba talked about young people and homosexuality, about natural moral law. This is an amazing conference. The CD set on CD audio is available for $119. The DVD set is available for $179. They will be ready soon, and you can get them at americansfortruth.org at the right side. You'll want to get these and study them. And we've got to fight back. That's what it's all about. The homosexual activists train their people. We've got to train ours. Right, Ryan?
Absolutely.
And Ryan, let's just as you were talking, you are hopeful because you say the leading conservative activists are traditional conservatives. They are not libertarians, or as you call them, libertarians. So would you agree that the media promotes the libertarians than the social conservatives?
Pro-sodomy activists out there, like the people at Go Proud, Grover Norquist, who runs Americans for Tax Reform, who recently joined the board of a pro-sodomy Republican organization.
That's Go Proud, right? GOP
Go Proud.
Proud, yeah.
He also accepted money from Al Moody, who is in federal prison for 20-some-odd years for accepting money from the Libyan government to promote radical Islam in America, and he did so through his wife's founding of the Islamic Free Market Institute, which is the exact same thing as GoProud. They use the free market as a vehicle through which to promote Islam, and GoProud uses the free market as a vehicle through which to promote sodomy. You know, these types of guys will latch on to any young person that they find compromised on this issue, and they'll promote them. Hey, look, a young person joins the crowd. You know, this young person or that young person, SC Cup, joins, you know, GoProud in defending, quote, so-called gay marriage, a self-contradiction, non-existent, you know, concept. And, you know, that's what they do, but, you know, they do it because they're insecure, because it's not obvious that young people are supporting this, because really they aren't. And the number one young people group supporting the homosexuals out there are young college-age girls. You know, they make a gay friend or they feel bad for them on quote, civil rights grounds, and they feel themselves to be bigots and haters if they stand against the homosexual agenda, when in reality, the homosexuals have euphemized the issue that they hate, in many cases, they hate Christians. They hate Christianity. They don't think it's okay to be a Christian because they don't think it's okay to stand against same-gender sodomy and deviant sexual addictions.
If they don't hate it, sometimes they undermine it, and they try to redefine Christianity to accommodate perversion, which of course is wrong.
Exactly, and they in many cases are in fact bigoted. They're bigoted people, that's what they are. They hate anyone opposed to deviant sexual addictions, and that includes Christians. If you're a Christian, and you see this exemplified in the man in Palm Springs who tore up the old woman's cross when she was holding it up. You see it when the Christians in the Castro district in San Francisco were nearly beaten up by violent pro-sodomy activists, and the cops had to escort them out of the district for their own safety.
That's an incredible video, that video of the YouTube of the Christian group.
You see it in Wayne Besson when he goes to churches and starts screaming in their windows during service to try to intimidate and bludgeon, you know, the newcomers.
Let me make a comment on that one, Ryan. That was actually it was a ex-gay seminar. It was a seminar for people interested in change therapy away from homosexuality. These are homosexuals who want to change. And Wayne was there with his megaphone yelling in the window. This is in a Boston church. I think it's called Park Street Church in Boston. He was there in his band of fanatical anti-Christian protesters were there yelling in the window. And I made the observation, if there were a bunch of Christians yelling in the window of a homosexual church, like the Metropolitan Community Church, I dare say they'd probably be arrested by the police, but they certainly wouldn't be that action would not be defensible, yelling in the window of a church. And yet Wayne Besson seems to think that's okay for him.
Right, and other homosexuals march into Sunday service and start throwing gay propaganda pieces around in the middle of service, interrupting, running up and down the aisles. They have no respect. You know, you have transvestites in San Francisco going to a Catholic mass and taking mass and videotaping it. And you've got them dressing up like priests and going to outdoor fairs and telling people at the fairs that they are, in fact, Catholic priests, and that they're also homosexual, in order to confuse people who don't know a lot about the church into believing that the church accepts sodomy, same-gender sodomy. You've got lesbians dressing up like priests, high priestesses, going into colleges and talking to college classes, acting as though they're high priestesses. Barbara Kidings in the 1970s stated there are three people groups that have their hands on us: the psychiatrists, the law, and the church. The psychiatrists will have to go first, she said, because they render anything we say about ourselves, uncredible, because we're insane, according to them. She goes, next, the law will have to go because they render what we do illegal. And finally, the church will have to be changed or destroyed if they won't come on to our side.
This was Barbara Gittings, who's one of the, is this Barbara Gittings, the one of the early lesbians?
Yep, she used to put, she used to host events like lesbian kissing booths at APA meetings. She worked with Frank Kameny to disrupt meetings of the American Psychiatric Association when they discussed reparative therapy. She was, you know, pivotal in the movement to hyper-politicize the homosexual issue within the APA in order to have it removed. You know, a lot of psychiatrists still believe homosexuality is a psychological disorder. I mean, a psychological disorder technically is if a thing is, you know, any anxiety that inhibits one from functioning in accord with their natural design. And, you know, if a person can't, you know, if a person can't function because they're afraid of spiders, they can't go outside because they're afraid of spiders, or they can't go to the bathroom because they get, you know, crazy anxiety. These are psychiatric disorders or anxiety disorders.
But Ryan, wouldn't the gay activists object by saying, well, obviously that's the whole point. We can function well in every other area of our life and we're not inhibited at all. But
they're not.
But the key thing is natural design, what you said.
Right, but most studies that they're not functioning well. So many of them have got all kinds of other psychological problems to go along with their same-sex attraction. Take Ellen DeGeneres, for example, whose stepdad tried to molest her a couple of times. Part of that, she was attracted to men, and you know, she developed a fear for her stepfather and generalized it onto all other men. I mean, look at the effect that evil man, her stepfather, who tried to molest her multiple times, has had on her entire life. She can't be with a man. She can't have a family. She can't, you know, go a day on her television show without you know, some comment about you know, people that are in favor of rational sexuality. I mean,
yeah, that's an interesting point. You know,
we can't even see. People don't always just out their problems, you know, on major television. That's the time when they moderate and act as normal as possible. People don't go come out and tell you when they have sexually transmitted diseases. They say, "Hi, I'm Joe. I've got HPV or gonorrhea or syphilis." That's something they keep to themselves in secret as far as they can, and so you're not going to see it exposed explicitly as much, but it's there, it's haunting them, and a lot of them aren't happy. That's why a lot of them attend ex-gay ministries and ex-gay programs, because reparative therapies and the like, because they do want change deep down, and we can assume this.
What's bizarre is, you know, the guys like Besson and the homosexual activists, you know, like the website Ex-Gay Watch, I mean, these people are just fanatically committed to squelching the idea of change, even though it's manifestly true that many people have changed. I mean, for every public ex-gay, there are people who are not public. For every famous ex-gay, like Greg Quinlan, he's the one who spoke at our meeting.
And there's Hatch.
Yeah, Anne Hesch. Yeah, there's
being attracted to women, you know.
Yeah, Anne Hesch once was what she was. Wasn't she Ellen DeGeneres' girlfriend?
Yeah, and all of a sudden she was born gay. Then all of a sudden she's marrying Nick Summerlin, the British man.
Yeah, you know, it's,
you know, they're ridiculous. They change their sexual orientation more often than I change my shoes. And people don't understand that they're lying about being born gay. It's just ridiculous.
And then, of course, the homosexual activists are lying that change is not possible. This is Peter LaBarbera with the Americans for Truth Hour. We'll be back in a minute.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're in part two of our interview with Ryan Zorba, who is a young conservative activist who spoke at our Truth Academy. I described the Truth Academy lectures last segment, and they are wonderful. I encourage you to get the DVD or CD of this three-day seminar on homosexuality. You can go to AmericansForTruth.org, AmericansForTruth.org, and hit the Truth Academy button on the right side and order those off our website, or you can send a check-in. Ryan, I want to talk to you about this phenomenon of the conservatives, so-called, going south on the issue of homosexuality. Now, both of us have talked about the Ann Coulter phenomenon. She's speaking at something called HomoCon, which I suppose stands for Homo Conservative. I guess only gay activists can use the word homo. Conservatives use it and will be castigated. Okay. But anyway, she's speaking at this event called HomoCon. It's put on by the group you discussed, Go Proud, which calls itself a gay conservative organization. What I'm curious about is we came out and we challenged Ann Coulter to – I like Ann Coulter. I mean, she entertains me. I like listening to her when she's making fun of the liberals sometimes. It's hilarious. But it's just – in fact, I just heard her a couple of days ago talking about the mosque, and it was wonderful. She was on the Sean Hannity show, and it was good stuff. But she is speaking before a homosexual activist group called Go Proud, which favors domestic partnership laws, favors so-called gay marriage, favors homosexualizing the U.S. military, that is, getting rid of the ban on open homosexuality in the military. And she's giving a speech there, and we called on Ann Coulter to reconsider that speech. And if she was going to give it, then maybe to donate the speaking fee from that speech to a worthy conservative organization such as PFOX, Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays, or the Center for Military Readiness, which is led by Elaine Donnelly, who is an American hero who's fighting to preserve our armed forces from being politicized by the homosexual lobby or by the feminist lobby. So we've called on Ann Coulter to donate her speaking fee. But, Ryan, here's what I want to get your reaction to. Joe Farah, who's the publisher of WorldNet Daily, he came, he agreed with us, and he actually canceled a speaking engagement that for Ann Coulter at an event he's having in September. Well, now everybody's speaking on this topic, and Matt Lewis, who is a columnist for Politics Daily, and I think he's sort of a Republican consultant, isn't he? Do you follow his work, Matt Lewis?
No, I'm not too familiar with him.
Okay, well, I think he's a Republican consultant. Anyways, he chimed in and he wrote a column called "Ann Coulter Applauded by Young Conservatives for HomoCon Speech." And he says, news that conservative columnist Ann Coulter would speak at HomoCon, an event organized by the gay conservative group Go Proud, prompted conservative outlet WorldNet Daily to drop her from speaking at one of its upcoming events. Coulter defended her decision to accept the invitation, saying, quote, "They hired me to give a speech, so I'm giving a speech. I speak to a lot of groups and do not endorse them. I speak at Harvard, and I certainly don't endorse their views." Then he continues, this is Matt Lewis writing for Politics Daily, "But while she may have lost a WorldNet Daily speaking gig over it, most young conservatives I spoke to defended Coulter's decision." And then he quotes Eric Erickson of the website Red State, who says, quote, "I think it's terrific that Ann Coulter is speaking at HomoCon," unquote. Other conservatives went so far as to argue that supporting gay rights is inherently conservative. And here's S.E. Cupp, who's quoted. Lewis quotes S.E. Cupp of Fox News. I think she appears on Fox. Quote, "Conservatism and gay rights are actually natural allies," said Cupp, conservative columnist and author of Losing Our Religion, the Liberal Media's Attack on Christianity. Isn't it interesting? She's writing a book about the liberal media attacking Christianity, and she's calling homosexual so-called rights and conservatism natural allies. Now, that's strange. I'll finish the quote and then let you comment, Ryan. This is S.E. Cupp. She says, quote, "Conservatism rightly seeks to keep the government out of our private lives. And when you strip away the politics of pop culture, it's the assertion of privacy and freedom that the gay rights movement is essentially making," unquote. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, she's involved in a self-contradiction if she's not in favor of the repeal of Lawrence v. Texas, because Lawrence v. Texas took the power away from the states to make their own laws, essentially to criminalize sodomy. And, you know, so if she's in favor of Lawrence, she's going to be involved in a self-contradiction based on her own stated principles, number one. Number two, the Constitution gives us police powers to enforce public morality, health, and safety. Homosexuality violates all three of those things. It's immoral because it's irrational. It's contrary to practical reason. Immoral acts are to the world of action as self-contradictions are to the world of thought. They're contrary to nature. They're meaningless combinations of actions, just like contradictions are meaningless combinations of words. And they result in a deficiency of being. It harms public safety because it involves the spread of HIV/AIDS, human papillomavirus, gonorrhea, syphilis. The rates of all these things and more are astronomically higher than they all are for all other men and women in both the male and female homosexual populations. Lesbians are at a high risk for breast cancer, cervical cancers. They're at a higher risk for AIDS because they're more likely to sleep with gay men.
Yeah, that's something that's not talked about much, is it, Ryan? The sort of bisexuality that's out there, the fact that lesbians are sleeping with, quote, gay men, unquote. And you alluded to the astronomical rates, the fact that even to this day, amidst all the propaganda and lessons about so-called safer sex, men who have sex with men are just way, way overrepresented among all these sexual diseases.
Oh, man, they're astronomically overrated. I mean, there's never been a people group in history with a higher sexually transmitted disease rate. And it's because of it's a little light, if you will, that indicates what their lifestyle is really is to everybody out there.
But here she's saying that conservatism and gay rights are natural allies. That's just...
She's got a false conception of liberty that is in general, and I know a lot of people out there like Ron Paul, but this notion of just this purely negative liberty is completely false.
What do you mean purely negative liberty? Explain that.
Just this notion that liberty is just a collection of things the government cannot do. I mean, liberty is a combination of rights and duties. Everybody's rights come from somebody else's duty not to infringe upon those rights. And so the definition of liberty is the freedom from injustice and the freedom to do any just thing. You do not have the right to commit injustice. And homosexual acts are unjust. Homosexual adoption is unjust. The term justice means rendering unto each that which they are due. And homosexual behavior, sodomy, is not rendering unto the other that which they are due. They are a reproductive organism, a reproductive principle. And when you take their reproductive organ or even your own reproductive organ and place it in a place that is designed for the filtration of the body, that is designed for defecation, you're not rendering them the value they are due. Their values are in disarray. It would be like if you walked into a Target, you adopted the homosexual value system. It'd be like walking into the Target one day and finding that the big screen TV's, you know, got a price tag of $1 on it, and the toothbrush has a price tag of $2,000 on it. Their values are completely mixed up. They're not rendering unto each that which they are due. They're mixing up their values. They're out of touch with reality. They're living in an illusory world. They're and it results in the dissolution of the human personality.
But Ryan, Ryan, she's talking about religion here too. It seems like she's. I haven't read the book. I didn't even know she'd wrote it. Losing Our Religion: The Liberal Media's Attack on Christianity. But what do you think about this decoupling of religion from practical areas of life? I think a lot of conservatives, so-called, they want to be pro-religion. They want to say they are Christian. They want to say they are defending Christianity. And yet here is a woman who is obviously competent, smart. She's out there in the media probably, and she does a lot of good things. I've seen Ms. Cupp on Fox. But, I mean, here she is saying conservatism and rights based on homosexuality are natural allies. That is an anti-religious and anti-Christian thought, is it not?
Right. I mean, she's phrasing this. It is an anti-Christian thought because sodomy is contrary to Scripture, and she's trying to frame this as a, quote, gay rights issue, as if gays were a people group like African Americans or Hispanics or Irish, when in fact they're not. There is no one that is born gay, that is permanently gay, that is, it is not an immutable human characteristic that is, that you know, in which a person finds it impossible to change. It's a lifestyle choice, and nobody has the right to drop acid tabs. Nobody has the right to public orgies. Nobody has the right to, you know, incest, to zoophilia, to pedophilia, to all kinds of behaviors that nowhere in the Constitution or in the penumbras of the Bill of Rights is there this implied right to complete privacy. If there was, we would find all kinds of acts like I said, zoophilia, you know, the right to drop acid as being anti-constitutional, and they're not. They are completely constitutional. We don't find this,
the right to ban drug use in the private home is constitutional, right?
Strict right to privacy that overtakes all other you know, ethical codes in the Constitution. It's not there. It doesn't exist. And Ron Paul is anti-constitution if he's claiming that it does. And anyone that claims it does is anti-constitution. You can be for the Constitution or against it. You can try to define it in any way you see fit, or you could try to know it for what it is and its own genius and for the America that it's brought into existence.
Hold on right there, Ryan. We'll be back in a minute talking about the sellout of conservatives like S.E. Cupp at Americans for Truth Hour. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the final segment of part two of our interview with Ryan Zorba, who is a young conservative, a bright guy. He spoke at our Truth Academy, which was held outside Chicago on August 5 to 7. You can get the tapes of this 3-day conference on homosexuality. Comprehensive. Don't get them if you don't want to learn. This is something to be studied and listened to, and it'll take a long time. But it's, if you want to become educated on the homosexual issue, then do it. It takes work to take action effectively in the culture. And I encourage you to listen to Ryan Zorba's talks. He's got two of them in the CD set and the DVD set. Again, that's available at americansfortruth.org. Go to the right side where it says Truth Academy. And we're talking with Ryan about the sellout of conservatives. And there's been so many now. George Will sold us out on gays in the military. Shouldn't say gays. We're trying to avoid that word. Ryan, briefly say, what's wrong with the word gay, Ryan?
Yeah, we've got to start to boycott gay. It's a term that refers to an identity rather than a sometime behavior. And it is a completely loaded term in favor of the homosexuals. That's why they like to be called gay. It's a civil rights term.
Because it sounds like it's something inherent. It almost makes it sound like, you know, you described how African Americans can't change. I mean, I've never met an ex-black. Have you met an ex-black, Ryan?
Never have.
I've been searching.
Jackson, but aside from that,
yeah, no. the old Michael Jackson joke. I've been searching for an ex-black far and wide. Cannot find an ex-black, and I'm having the same problem with ex-Hispanics. But that word "gay," it makes it sound like it's intrinsic. It's like, yeah, I'm gay, and then you hear people say, "Well, how can you discriminate against somebody because of who they are?" I mean,
that's
talk about that. It's not who they are.
Yep.
Well, I'll talk about that. I mean, again, so would you rather say the word homosexual? Even that word is a flawed word. It's actually a creation. It was an artifice itself. But go ahead.
No, absolutely. The words have to fit the reality of the concept. And what it is a person has developed same-sex attraction, or they engage in sodomy. Now, they can engage in sodomy before or after developing same-sex attraction. Some people do it for money. Male prostitution, boy prostitution in Eastern Europe and San Francisco.
In prison. There's always more homosexual behavior in prison.
They're separate concepts, and they need to be disentangled. You've also got anti-family activism versus pro-family activism. We are pro-family activists, and that pro-family sentiment is what animates our problem with sodomy, because it destroys the family.
And you're talking, when you say family, it's really the natural family, because now there's a lot of confusion around the word family. And you actually have people saying, I mean, this one cracks me up, but it's actually quite serious. You have, you know, two homosexual men saying they plan to have a family. In other words, they plan to have kids. Well, they can't have kids on their own. They have to acquire kids.
Exactly. And when they do so, they do a grave, you know, injustice to those children, because two fathers are not the same thing as a mother and a father. A little girl is entitled, she has the right to a mother and a father. And we need to start looking at marriage from a child's rights perspective, because marriage isn't about individual males and females. The state has no interest in who you feel giddy about today. The state has an interest, a valid interest, a rational interest in the successful education of the rising generation that's going to perpetuate that society. And that's the reason society or others have an interest in your marriage, because the types of children you produce are going to affect the kind of society they're going to live in. And so, you know, and you know, marriage is a public institution. It's about a male and female getting together and committing themselves to each other in front of those who they want to support them in that decision. You know, a male and a female get together, they say, I do, and they invite everybody along because they want their friends and family to support them, to acknowledge that they're exclusive, and they need support for it to work. And essentially what the gays are doing is they're forcing everybody out there in the audience, you know, at the wedding to accept their union, when some people don't want to go to their wedding. Some people don't want to support that. And they're forcing them.
And you can love the person. You can love and deeply care for the person who's engaging in that so-called wedding and still not go to that so-called marriage wedding because you don't want to lend any justification, any sanction, any support to something which is illicit, which is against their own interests. And we believe that. We believe practicing homosexuality, enshrining homosexuality in marriage, is against the person's own interests, because it's it's ungodly, and attaching it to marriage. Talk about that, Ryan. Attaching the noble word of marriage and all that means to homosexual acts. It's appalling.
Yeah, it is appalling. It's a complete misrepresentation of the term marriage, and it strips it of all its qualitative properties and reduces it to a mere term, a mere word. It completely strips the term from its context with, you know, as an institution designed to be grounded in charity between spouses and focused on the rising generation,
in spiritual terms, a reflection of Christ and his bride. I mean, it's in so many ways, it's very subversive.
Yeah, you can't make a permanent, you know, endless commitment before a finite institution, which is why God has to oversee the marriage bond, because God is eternal. The marital commitment is an eternal one. It's a truly human act of the will. It's a universal commitment.
Okay, in breaking this down as applied to homosexuality, just as you can't make an eternal commitment before a finite being, you can't make a godly commitment. You can't make an ungodly commitment before somebody who is godly. God cannot sanction homosexuality. God cannot sanction so-called gay marriages, because homosexuality, the act in whatever form it takes, is against God. It's ungodly.
It's for the same reason that God cannot create a square circle, because it's just a self-contradiction. It's a meaningless combination of words. And meaningless combinations of words don't suddenly acquire meaning merely because they're uttered. God can do all things possible, but what he cannot do is meaninglessness. He can't create a square circle, because there's no such thing as a square circle. It's a complete meaningless combination of words. And the same is true of gay marriage. There's no such thing as gay marriage. And to try to enshrine this a square circle into law is going to do nothing.
But Ryan, talk as a, we got 1 minute left. Talk about the idea of attaching conservatism to this this oxymoronic concept of homosexual so-called marriage. 1 minute.
The term conservative is basically used to it basically means that we want to conserve those traditions that have been proven throughout history and experience to work, to be beneficial to society. How is something radically new, actually non-existent, like, quote, gay marriage, conservative then? If conservatism is about conserving that which we have found in our experience to work and to be good for society. We found in the Netherlands, we found in Boston that gay marriage is bad for society. They have a very high divorce rate. Less people decide to ever even get married, once gay marriage is enacted. People lose respect for the institution.
Ryan, I'm going to have to cut you off there, and I've enjoyed this interview, and we hope to talk to you again. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
A bright young man, Ryan Zorba. I think he's going to go very far. This has been the Americans for Truth Hour. You'll be able to catch this interview online at americansfortruth.org. We're just announcing that we're having Pastor Ken Hutcherson as our banquet speaker November 13th. So put that on your calendar. November 13th, go to americansfortruth.org.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war, people who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.